Just a word about learning when we have the more Mesiris Nefesh. A person, right, it says that the Torah was given really to Ochle Haman. To the Torah was not given except to the generation that got man, that fell from Shemayim. What does that mean? Why did Hashem only give it to them? Why couldn't Hashem give us the Torah and our generation? So people said because the man on the one hand represented a possibility to focus, right? Everything was provided for you. You could focus on the Torah. If you had to work for your living, you had to do everything else, then it's much harder. So that's why Hashem decided to give it to them. On the other hand, it's in all the psukim, the reason Hashem gave the man was laman anoto, to give us a test, to check us out, to challenge us, how hard it's going to be to know that you don't know what's going to be tomorrow. With the man, on the one hand, it was tasted like whatever you wanted. It was really great. It was awesome. But on the other hand, it was a type of thing. You have it today. You don't have enough for tomorrow. You only get it for today, one at a time. And so you have no idea what's going to be tomorrow. And yet, you have a Emunah Hashem. Hashem's going to take care of you. That's the type of generation that's ready to accept Torah. Because if you look at Torah, a lot of Torah is coming because it comes to a person because they have a Emunah Hashem. They know that everything that we do relies on Hashem. We have a Emunah that Hashem sent us a Torah of truth. This is what our understanding of Torah comes on our reliance on Hashem. So the more that person has a Emunah, the person is mechazik in the fact that even though there's a lot of mysterious nefesh doing something when it's harder, the more reward we'll get, the more we'll learn from this, the more we'll gain from this, and it'll stick with us in the future. All right, so Emir Tashem, the learning that we'll do tonight should be Refu Shlema for everybody that's sick and should be Mirtz Hashem should be a segula, Yeshua keharaf ayin. Mirtz Hashem should bring the Mashiach very quickly. All right, so we're going to start Shun Yud Chet, the Mishnah Brura, but the first thing there is not only about cooking. It's more general than that. It's what happens when anything goes wrong and someone does something wrong on Shabbat. For example, someone cooks, but I will expand all the cases. Mevashel b'Shabbat. Let's say a Jew cooks on Shabbat. They shouldn't be doing this, and by accident they cook, or on purpose they cooked. Oh, sha'asa achad mishar malachot. The Rama says if someone does something, any of the malachos, this is relevant. So what did we say? But mezid, if he does it on purpose, asr lo la'olam. It's forever. It's going to be asr for him for that time. Ola achir mutar lemotzi Shabbat miyad. But for other people, mutar after Shabbat. All right, we'll start with this. So then, we can ask a lot of questions. What do we do, let's say, a person's in their house, and someone by accident doesn't realize the halacha, and they take out raw food from the fridge, and they put it on the hot plate or put it in the oven Shabbat morning. And then they did cooking. Could you eat that food for lunch or whatever it is? Okay? So that's one of the first questions we're going to deal with. Any other questions you guys have? I hope everybody could hear me, and if you can, please let me know. I want to hear everybody. You don't need to put yourself on mute. Any questions we can come up with?
I think that so basically when you say that this is a knas, it's basically like
yes. Right, that's correct. So it's a machloket in the Gemara. There's one opinion in the Gemara of Kodesh Yilachem Torah, that Shabbat is Kodesh, it's holy. So all the ma'asim, anything you do on Shabbat that you shouldn't be doing, has Kedusha. And therefore, you're not allowed to benefit from Kedusha. So therefore, all the things that you make on Shabbat are Asur Min HaTorah. We don't follow that opinion. We assume it's Hi Kodesh in Ma'aseh Kedushim. The Shabbat has Kedusha, but not you know, the Shabbat, the Shabbos Malka, Kal Yisrael is together with Shabbat's Kedusha, but the Ma'aseh Shabbat, things that you make on Shabbat don't have Kedusha. This is only penalty midrabban. That's the riff, that's the rush, that's the most opinions in the Rishonim. We assume it's only Midrabanan. So, right, so some questions we could deal with are cooking. It could be other things. For example, Chas v'Shalom, someone lives with somebody who's not so religious, not so from, and they go into their room, and they turn on the lights in the middle of Shabbat, purposefully. Okay? What then happens? Am I allowed to read in that room, enjoy the light? If they turn on hot water,
you have to leave the room.
Okay, so you have to deal with. Do you have to leave the room? What if it's your main room? What if it's the dining room? Do you have to leave the room?
I think so. No, I don't know. I think so. Okay. So you're saying good from Shulchan Aruch right now. Shulchan Aruch sounds like you do, but we'll see. There is more opinions and more cases. In Israel, this is a big issue. Because in Israel, you go to the army. I don't know if Ez is there, but this is a real thing in the army. Because unfortunately, there are people that are not yet religious. So they have, sometimes, people do things. They heat up food. They turn on lights for themselves. But they did something, Malacha and Shabbat. Could you benefit from that? Okay, those are the big questions. Most of the time, if you're around someone who's religious, more of the questions are about by accident. Bishogi. Okay. But even Bishogi, we have a lot to talk about that as well. In Israel, the biggest question they have is electricity. And the electric plants need someone, every now and then, the electric plants, like Con Edison in America, or wherever, they need somebody to watch over the stuff. And if something's going to overload, they have somebody fix it. Someone press some buttons on the computer to make sure everything works properly. Are you allowed to benefit from electricity on Shabbos? Especially, let's say, it's a blackout. Power goes out, and then they fix it and all the lights go back on. Could you benefit from those lights? Or you have to leave the house?
You can benefit. But I don't know.
Why?
Like, I heard, because there's cases of sakana. And for those cases, you can save $500.
Okay, very good. So Roberto has a good sara. Even though B'mezid, they intentionally fixed electricity in the power plant, maybe we should be Mekel because they fix electricity because there are people who are B'sakana. There's a hospital in the town. If they don't fix electricity, then the hospital's not going to get electricity and then it's going to be a problem for the people sick. So what do you say, though, if they have emergency generators in the hospital? And most hospitals today do have that. So they're not really fixing it for the people in the hospital. But not only because even if they don't fix it.
But they're still in the hospital.
Okay, but they don't need the electricity.
Even in the house, you can have a sakana.
Okay,
you
good.
You can have a
polish sakana. Okay, do you allow that?
Oh, maybe it's maybe she just will have sakana. I don't know why he's in the south.
Good. I think, Roberto, I like your sorrow. We'll come back. I think you're saying good, sir.
It's not mine.
Okay, so right now I'm going to run through some of the things that the Tiferet Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Sardi Poskim that talk about these cases. And one thing is, maybe I'll take pictures after, but this is the Sardi Mishnah Berurah, just so you see what the pages look like. So the first one is, let's say someone does a malacha during Ben Hashmashos, during the twilight zone, coming into Shabbat or leaving Shabbat, between when Shabbat starts and going into Shabbat. But, you know, this Rabbi Belzon told me in his shul in Fairlawn, somebody came and was heating up water in an urn, putting water in the hot water urn, and then he plugged it in. He saw it was not plugged, then he plugged it in. And then someone told him, you know, Shabbat already started. Because they're already davening mincha. And then he said, oh man, I didn't realize. So, are you allowed to drink that water for coffee or tea tomorrow? So, it was after sunset, but still the first 13 and a half minutes is Ben Shemashot. He's not allowed to do what he did. He's not supposed to do that.
No, I'm saying that you can't have different things that was done after Shkiyah.
Okay, so let's go to Shogeg. Right now, let's go back to Shulchan Aruch. Maran says, what happens? Mezid, you're not allowed to benefit. That's a penalty. What happens B'Shogeg? B'Shogeg, it says, Asur Bo Bayom. You're not allowed to benefit that day. However, Gam L'Achirim, for him or for other people. However, L'Erev, that night, Mutar Gam Lo Miyad, you can benefit that night. Okay, fine. So that is the idea that's in Shulchan Aruch. Even by accident, if someone does something by accident, still you're not allowed to benefit. So then it comes out, in most of the cases, most of the cases that we're going to discuss are by accident. You're living with someone who's religious, but still they made a mistake. They plugged into the urn 2 minutes after sunset. So even B'Shogi, you're not allowed to benefit for the duration of Shabbat. Okay, so on this case of Ben Shemashot, the Tiferet, Shalom Lechem. So we have in number 2 in the Teferah, they say Chamavadya was Mekel on on Ben Shmashot. The reason being, the whole Isur is Derabanan. The reason you can't benefit is because they said Midirabanan, that they made a penalty, Midirabanan. But if it's Ben Shmashot, if it's Suffolk day, Suffolk night, for the first 13 and a half minutes, that if someone does something, they plugged in the urn after sunset, you could benefit. They shouldn't have done that, but you're allowed to benefit. Isaac, do you hear that idea?
So, yeah. What?
Yes.
Sunset. That's a total
healing. No, it's not right. They shouldn't do it. They shouldn't do this. But I want to know after the fact, can I drink the tea that they made? They made it after sunset. So Ray Belazon was telling me a story in his shul that this happened when he made the urn. So the person made the coffee, he plugged it in, and someone else told him, oh, it's Shabbat already started. He said, oh man, I didn't realize. I thought I still had a few minutes. So he told them that you could rely on, he didn't hold like Rucham Avadi, that Safek Ben Shmasho is Mutar. But he had another reason. He said, the Mishnah Brura, so right now we read Maran. Maran, Shulchan Aruch says, if it's Shogeg by accident, it's Asur. However, Mishnah Berurah brings that there's a machloket. In Siv Katan Zion, in the bottom, it says over there that it's a machloket. And the Grah follows Tosur. Haskim bebiro l'shita Tosur. Jepasku kreimer. If you follow the Mishnah Berurah and you follow the Grah, so then by accident, if someone violates Shabbat by accident, then there's what to benefit. So that's an important opinion to know. For Ashkenazim, sorry, Belazon was willing to be lenient based on that opinion, an important opinion to rely on. B'shad v'chak, if you have no other option, you can rely on that opinion. Okay? But for Sfaradim, it's a big machloket. Rav Moshe Levi, Menuchat Ava, he said, also Sfaradim can be make el like that opinion. B'shad v'chak, if you need to. Chaim Avadia said not. We follow Shulchan Aruch. This is in the Tiferet later. Let me find it. That they say from Avadia would not say to rely on this. In 35, Yachi Yosef, and also Ravadia wrote Haskama to Ramasas's Shemeshim again. He wrote not to rely on this. You can't rely on this girl. So once someone asked Rav Yitzchak Kohn, who's in YU, so it said, he asked Rav Kohn, I made a mistake Friday night. Oh, no, it's Shabbat morning. I saw the cholent was burning. And I took the cholent pot off the crock pot, brought it to the sink, turned on the cold tap water, and had some water go in there so it wouldn't burn. And they put it back on the crock pot.
Wow.
So we're going to learn that you're not supposed to do that. Okay, so now, question is he allowed to eat the cholent?
Batel v'shishim.
Okay, you're a day.
For sure, no.
For Sfaradim, this seems like it's a problem.
Yeah.
So he asked somebody there, Aviam Levin was standing there, he said, oh, what does it say? It says in the Shemir Shabbat, you could follow this in the Mishnah Berurah if you need to. If this is your only hot food, you can align it. So Rav Yitzchak Kohn asked this guy, so, do you have any hot food? So he said, yeah, we also have chicken, we have kugel. We also have other foods. We don't just have the cholent. So he said, but my wife is going to be very upset that she made the cholent, she made the food, and now I messed it up for her. So he said, okay, that's also shad t'chak. We could rely on the gra. Fine. So that's, I think for Ashkenazim, that's a reliable opinion. For Sardim, we're going to have to try to find more opinions to rely on. There's a whole book, there's a whole section in Hilchot Tzava, not Rav Rimon, there's another Hilchot Tzava, Shlomo Zachari ben Shlomo, a Sfaradi Temani Sefer, and he has a chapter Amir Ali Yisrael, all the benefits you can get from a malacha of a Jew that's not so religious. Anyway, so it's a big machloket here. He quotes Menuchat Ava and Rav Meir Mazuz and Rav Moshe Levi want to rely on this even for Sfaradim, and Chacham Avadir Rav Yitzchak Yosef don't want to rely on this. Fine. But Ben Shmashot, we said before, you can rely on this. We're going to be clever. We'll come up with other Hetirim, and we'll be Mekel. Okay, the biggest Kula that we should know, the biggest one, is if there's an opinion to rely on. As long as there's a legitimate opinion, this is in the first Bir Halacha of the Mishnah Berurah. Let me find it. As long as there's one opinion to rely on, legitimate opinion to rely on, then you don't have to worry about any penalty. Because you can say, I'm following that opinion. Okay? So in other words, even if that's not the accepted opinion, but if he does it, then there's what to rely on, then there's not going to be any malacha. So Sif Katan Ben Mishnah Berurah, I'm just scrolling up so to show that Mishnah Berurah, and then we'll give an example. Okay? One second, where is it? No, I mean, not in Bir Alacha. It's in the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Bet. Okay. Kol Sheyesh Safek Beplugta B'zeh. I don't know if you can see on my screen or you can see in your own Mishnah Berurah. It's by the Bet. If there's anything that's a machloket a poskim, it's an argument, so then you can be meikel. Ihavi Bechlal Bishu Alav or Bishar Malachot Kegavne Ein Losar B'di'eved. You don't have to worry about this. B'di'eved. You don't have to worry about this after the fact because there's no penalty. How can we penalize him for following his legitimate opinion? So, it's a very important kula to know. So, if you see somebody on Shabbat morning, open up the oven, take out cold food, and put it in the oven. Reheating food, not cooking food. Are you allowed to benefit?
There is an opinion that says that it's fine. You're good.
Is there an opinion in this case?
It depends on which oven.
Good. So in terms of bishul, very good. If it's dry, there's no bishul, fine. But there is mechzi kemoshel because of maybe hachzara, if you return something to an open fire. So there's a machloket. So bottom line, if you take food out of the fridge and you put it on an open fire, that's hachzara. So that you're not allowed to benefit from. You have to wait till it cools down. Okay, but if you have the oven, so Chamavadja brings an idea from some achronim that say the oven's fire is always covered. Oh, no. I lost the internet again. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're back.
Sorry, okay. The internet's spotty. All right, we got to just dive in this continues. So the basic idea is that when you have an opinion to rely on, you don't have to make a penalty. And we said if the oven is a covered fire because the walls of the oven cover the fire on the bottom. So there is an opinion. It's brought in the footnotes in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Yaki Yosef, in Reish Nun Gimel. So he brings an opinion. He says not to rely on. He says ideally it's best not to rely on that opinion. The Shabbat oven, a little better. Yeah, what are you going to say something, Ev? Or other? Someone has something to say?
So what happens if the oven is... But let's say the oven, it's going to make the fire higher. So in that case, according to no one, you can do
it. If he made it higher, so then no. Then you shouldn't benefit. Wait till it cools down. Wait till it cools down to the temperature it would have been without doing that. Okay, what would you say if somebody, this is a classic mistake, somebody Friday night was looking at the cholent, wanted to see if it was cooked, pulled off the cover, saw that it was not cooked, put the cover back.
There's an opinion to rely on.
Opinion to rely on. Which opinion?
It wasn't cooked yet, so.
It was not cooked. So this is an issue when he covers it, because he puts back on the cover, it's called Mikari Vishal. He's making it quicker. He's making it cook quickly. So if he makes it cook quickly, that's already a problem. He's not on a benefit. So what are we going to say in that case to help him figure out a way to benefit from that? Not pashut, not so simple.
Get back off before it's too late.
Okay, so if it would cook anyway, I'll say it like this. If it was going to cook for 10 hours or 20 hours, and it would cook anyway, even without the cover on, so then you didn't benefit from his action. Even without his action, I would have benefited. It's like the following case. I don't know if this works, but I had the following svara. Once I was at my friend's ofra by Ashkenazim or Shabbat Chatam for Svaradin. Okay, they had a party. They had a bunch of guys, a bunch of friends, and my friends before their wedding. And they had a non-Jewish maid that was there Friday night that was helping out, helping out in the kitchen, helping out serve some of the food. Fine. So the lights were on a timer, and half the lights in the room went out at whatever it was, 10 o'clock at night, half the lights went out. But you could still see all the light, the other lights were on. So the non-Jew that was there figured, I may as well help them out. I'm trying to serve them and everything. So she pressed, there was two light switches. She pressed one of the light switches, she turned off everything without realizing. She turned off all the lights, and then she turned on all the lights. Shayla was, now could you benefit? Because she just made it so you couldn't read, you couldn't even do anything. Lights were totally off. And now, all the lights turned on. Do you hear the question? This is not about a Jew, this is about a non-Jew. But
the other half of the lights would be okay, because you were okay with only half the lights. But now that she turned them all off, you have to leave the room, because unless she stays and gets a benefit.
Okay, so I like your sore ass. Fine. So in this case, I thought I was there. They asked me. I thought that you could rely on it because there's a group of people. Anytime we're talking about a shvut, but Mokum Sarakharabim, Amir Lanachim, Mokum Sarakharabim, you could be Mekel. That was one reason to be Mekel. It was a mitzvah derabim, everybody could bench. Everybody could say, Birkat HaMazon from a bencher, that was a mitzvah derabim, you can use Amir Lanachim for a mitzvah derabim. That's the Baal Itcher, that's the Ramon, the Sarim follow that opinion of B'Shad Chak. So I was going to say that. But what I was going
to
say is.
You don't need to be a
Kohenite. What did you say?
What if they never cut him on Zumba,
right? Ah, very good. Yeah, I told this to Rosh Hashanah after the story. So he said he thought he liked my Sarah. But he said, yeah, if everybody could say benching at heart, then that's not such a good Sarah. But.
If they don't know it by heart, someone next to them could say it and they'll repeat responses.
I think it's a good idea. I hear. I think we would allow it even for some of the harachmans. Not everybody knows all the harachmans by heart.
The harachmans, I'd be less inclined because that's not a...
Yeah, they have a machlok at the Ksav Sofer and other postgame on Ne'ilah, if they need for Slichos of Yom Kippur. Before they had, in the 1800s, they didn't have lights. They didn't have electric lights. So they had candles. So they light candles Erev Yom Kippur and come Yom Kippur day, some of the candles will go out. And it came to Elo time in the Ksav Sofer, the Chatzim Sofer's son in his shul. It got dark, and they need some candles so they could see their Sidurim. And he said, since we already said the Shmona Esrei, and now everybody just wants to say Selichot, cannot do it. It's a big minhag, it's a big reason to say Selichot, of not Selichot. What was it? No, I think they didn't say Shmona Esrei even. They didn't say Shmona Esrei of Ne'ila. So not everybody knows how to daven Ne'ila. It doesn't matter. We're not going to have the non-Jew turn on the lights because it's not an absolute chiyuv, and they could just listen to the chazan, so you can't do it. So I think Chamavad is making on that because it's better. You should do it yourself.
But also, they can't repeat after the Shaliach Tzibur if it's Be'achim, the first before the Chazara.
Yeah, so they're going to lose out. They're going to just be able to do it. Yes. So, okay, I hear. The other svara I had to be Mekel was like this. The Shach talks about the following. Very quickly, just, Roberto, if you get this, let me know. If this is too confusing, I'll go over and make everybody clear so we get what we're talking about. Bishul Akum. If a non-Jew cooks something, you can't benefit. You're not supposed to eat it if the non-Jew cooks like meat. Raw meat, they cook it for you because you're supposed to have a Jew involved, turn on the fire at least, whatever, cook it. Great. So what happens where I put food on the stove and it's going to cook. And then the non-Jew turns it off and then turns it back on. Just lahachis, just to cause me trouble. What about that? Is that bishul akum? Without him, it was going to cook. Because it was going to cook because of me. But now he decided he wanted to cause me trouble. In Israel, they have in the restaurants, they have a mashgiach, sometimes they have Arab workers. So you have an Arab worker, and you have an Israeli mashgiach, an Arab worker, every day he sees that this mashgiach keeps turning on the fire, keeps flipping the burgers, and one day he knows he wants to get him. So he turns off the fire and turns it back on. So the Arab turns it back on. So now what do we say?
Oh, gosh.
So the Shach brings a reason. Maybe over there you can make lenient, because I don't owe any benefit. The reason for Bishul Akum is because I thank him. I have to thank him. He did something for me. I'm going to intermarry him because I'm thanking him because he cooked for me. Over here, what am I thanking him? He caused me trouble. I was going to cook anyway. So I was thinking you could maybe say the same thing over here. Rosh Hefter wasn't so sure if that's a good story over here. Okay, in this case, I thought there was a reason to be lenient. Fine. So I want to go on to a few more examples. And what about if you put on the fire something that's liquid? Soup. a really liquidy, soupy thing. A person takes out of the fridge liquid soup, and it was cold, and they put it back on the hot plate. So, if the Moroccans, are the Moroccans follow the Rambam on this? I know Tamanim.
I think the Moroccans are Machmir, but I think the Syrians are Makil here.
Syrians, interesting. I don't know. Now, okay.
With certain watery foods, not
mamash. Yeah, so chamavad is makel with liquids if it's majority solid. So like meatballs they put back. Anything with the cholent, something like that, with a lot of gravy, they'll put it back. But not if it's pure liquid. I think serins are not makel if it's pure liquid. Roberto, what do you say?
That's true.
Yeah, according to Rabbi, I would say that it's
Yeah, according to Chamavad, you can't do this. The Shaila is, can I benefit after the fact?
Someone did it. Because there is an opinion that
says that you are... Yeah, Chamavad says it's mutar. You could benefit after the fact because the Teimanim follow the Rambam. The Rambam says mutar. And yeah, we don't follow the Rambam. We follow Rashi and the Rosh. We're machmir on this. But you could be lenient. One more question. What about something that's just a smell? A smell? Well, yeah, what were you going to say?
Yeah, just one question.
Go for it, please.
This happens in between the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam that is of
Shabbat.
Of Shekiel Rabbeinu Tam of Shabbat, and in between the ground and the Rabbeinu Tam. Why don't we use the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam?
Wow, that's great. So he brings here in the Tiferet. A big discussion about this, that the Mishnah, the opposite of what you'd expect. Mishnah Berura says you can rely on Rabbeinu Tam after the fact. For example, a guy that was driving after Shabbat sunset, to your house, 50 minutes to your house and deliver something. A Jew delivers something to your army base 50 minutes after Shabbat started. According to Rabbeinu Tam, he has 58 minutes. We do 13 and a half minutes. According to Rabbeinu Tam, he had 58 and a half minutes. So he did 50 minutes after sunset. Could you benefit? So Chama Vadya said, the Mishnah Berurah is Mekel. He says, look, Rabbeinu Tam says, it's okay. We don't follow Rabbeinu Tam going into Shabbat. So you could be lenient, though, after the fact, because you could follow Rabbeinu Tam. Chama Vadya said no. That was the opinion was outvoted. We don't use that to be lenient going into Shabbat. It's very interesting. Because Chama Vadya tells people to be machmir on the end of Shabbat.
Oh, yeah. Chama Vadya's shita all the time is to give credit to the small opinion. It's not like
the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam is a very big opinion. Yaki Yosef brings 30 Rishonim that said like that. They're like Rabbeinu Tam. It's all the Sephardi, it's all the Ashkenazi, and a lot of the Sephardi opinions also, like Rabbeinu Tam. What do we do? So, Lamaase, there's what to be lenient. I think we should not be lenient on that because Rabbeinu Tam is a big discussion, and we don't want to lead people to make mistakes. Basically, it's a big loophole that people are going to make big mistakes. So we don't want to leave it like that. Okay. Once I was asked, yeah, going to say.
I think also that the fact that the Ben Hashem Ashot thing, the Rabbeinu Tam thing, it's not related to the Melach Haro. That's not related to the Melach Haro. I'm going to say that someone says that the putting the gravy on the plata, even though it's all liquid, okay, that's different because you have an specific opinion that says that you can do that. You know?
I hear.
It's like, you know, we're trying to make something else work out.
Okay. I hear. Very good. What about, we shouldn't know these things, but let's say someone, I'll take the easy cases. Someone makes a video on Shabbat, or somebody plays something on the music on the radio or whatever, plays music. Are you allowed to listen to a concert that's playing on Shabbat? Are you allowed to listen to this music video or watch this video that's made on Shabbat? Are you allowed to, if you smell. Let's say somebody is has some besamim that they're burning on some coals, or they have something in Israel that's legal, marijuana, personal use, and they're burning it on something, so they're smelling it. Are you allowed to smell from that? They're doing something wrong. They're not supposed to burn it on Shabbat. Or they get something that's mutar. They get something that's legal, or whatever. Is that allowed? A Jew who found in the Heights something that somebody was selling something they shouldn't have been selling, and then they got a hookah, and they were smoking it on Shabbat. So now are you allowed to smell that?
I mean, if it comes here,
you
have no choice, but you
can't
get hana from it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. You probably shouldn't get hana. So I would have thought, and lahalacha, you're right. As you're right. That's what it says here in the Tiferet, that Chacham Avadya said is asur. It's in footnote, these footnotes are very big, footnote 3 on whatever, footnote 3 in the middle of the page. Okay. But the reason I would have thought it should have been mutar, my havamina, my reason I would have said it was mutar, when somebody asked me this a long time ago, I said like this. I wasn't posek, but I said like this. Maybe kol mar v'reach im b'hemishum b'ila. When we have something of avodah zara, am I allowed to stand in the shade of a church? So this comes up in the Gemara. What?
Deriving hana'a from the shade of it?
Yeah, if it's a bait of avodah zara. So if it's, the Gemara has this phrase, it's not identical to benefit from something, it's, as long as it's kol, if it's just a nice voice, mara, the nice vision of it, or reach, or something smells nice. So the shade is a whole different discussion, but basically, if the building was not made to make a shady area over there, you could benefit, you could sit there. Anyway, in the shade of the church. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. But anyway, the same thing is said about the voice, a smell, and a good vision. So they talk about this, Rosh Hashanah brings this up, going to the when they had the dead bodies, the bodies museum. You're not supposed to benefit from a corpse. So are you allowed to look at it to benefit? So also when they do, it's different, but whatever. Anatomy, and they do cadavers. But, so that's the... That's my reason I was going to say maybe to be Mekel. Chacham Avadya was not Mekel on these. He said these are not good reasons to be Mekel.
These are Jewish cadavers and people at the body exhibit.
Yes, but still it's a sur to benefit from a... It's still a problem to benefit from a dead body, even from an Anjou.
It's for Chochmah, it's for...
Yeah, for the doctors were Mekel. That's a for, but not from
an... Even at the body exhibit, you're teaching. Let's say they go on a. When we were in fifth grade, we went on a class trip. It's educational nonetheless.
Yes. Anyway, Rav Schechter, when I heard Rav Schechter speak about, he brought that svara, kol mar v'reach. In this context, Rav Adi didn't like that svara. Okay. In terms of leaving your house, just and then I want to maybe wrap up. In terms of leaving your house, so Shulchan Aruch brings a story. It's from the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbat says, once a non-Jew turned on the light in the house of Shmuel, where Shmuel was there, and Shmuel was reading, and Shmuel got up. And he asked, why'd you get up? He said, oh, I got up because you turned on the light. I can't benefit from your actions. So the Gemara says... Yeah, but he was machmir. He was only being strict upon himself. He doesn't actually have to leave his house. And that's brought in Shulchan Aruch, because of the reason, Ein Adam Oser Dvar Shein Shelo. I can't make forbidden what doesn't belong to me. It's not my issue. I can't do that and mess up your stuff. Okay? So therefore, if somebody does something in your house, you don't have to leave. They can't kick you out of your house. Okay? That concept is brought in Tiferet over...
This is going to be off soon.
Okay. So I brought in the Tiferet, that case is brought, and they bring this case in New York. Rav Moshe was asked in the Lower East Side, there were buildings that had heating in the winter, that a Jewish super fixed the heating, turned on the heating. Do you have to leave your house, that there's heating in the apartment building? Oh, no.